Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We have Governor Patterson standing by to talk about how the stimulus money will be used in New York State and a few other things. Now, yesterday at this time, Governor Corzine was here to talk about what the stimulus bill might mean to New Jersey, other Obama policies too. Now it's Governor Patterson's turn on what they might mean for New York. Governor, we always appreciate you coming on with us. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, and maybe this is an odd response coming from me, but in the fall drive, I never got a letter for making the penultimate pledge, so maybe I can talk to the producer after this interview.
Okay. Well, you can...
on the stimulus package, New York State, it will receive $24.2 billion over 27 months, and the most important part of it, according to President Obama, we saw him at the White House on Monday morning, is we start getting people back to work. The stimulus is a psychological stimulus as much as it is a physical one. We want to get people to start spending money again. Americans saved 9% of their salaries in the 80s. It went down below 5% in the 90s and actually went down to 1% in the early part of this decade. It's already back up to 6.5%, nearing 7%, because people are recognizing that with the credit card debt and people potentially losing their jobs and a million and three quarters of people losing their homes since last summer, we realize that you have to hold money. So if you give tax cuts, people save the money, and if you give rebates, people hold the money.
Right. But in a concrete sense, how many jobs do you believe the stimulus bill will actually create in New York?
Brian, that's a hard thing to really say, but I would suggest that the stimulus package could probably create 500,000 jobs in New York.
And is that...
Let me pull that back. I think it could create 300,000 to 400,000 jobs in New York.
Now, the president is careful to say 3 or 4 million jobs nationwide will be created or saved. Can you separate the two? Because I realize some numbers of cops and teachers and others will not get laid off as a result of the aid to the states. But how many of our unemployed New York listeners right now might expect to actually get hired as a result of this $800 billion or the portion of it that comes to New York?
We're projecting a saving of 1,100 jobs in five projects that we have already announced in upstate New York in places like Allegheny, Steuben, and Onondaga and Herkimer counties. But some of those jobs were that as soon as we made the announcements, some planned layoffs were held back. And so you're seeing that in a lot of states, and President Obama gave an example in Missouri during his address the other night. So really, if you are able to save jobs that would have been lost next week, we can count them because they're part of the projected job loss that the controller, Tom DiNapoli, has given of 225,000
right.
jobs.
So it's tough sometimes to separate the jobs saved from the jobs created. Now, you mentioned the upstate projects. Long Island has already been complaining about not getting their share, but you said yesterday speed is more important than accuracy in doling out stimulative transportation funds. Do you stand by that? Speed is more important than accuracy?
Absolutely. Those were the words of a famous Hall of Fame shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals named Ozzie Smith as to why he was a better fielder than other fielders. And the idea is we want to get shovels in the ground. We want to get people back to work. When the projects are ready, we want to dole them out. Now, what you might do in a normal situation, Brian, is you would wait. So when you give the jobs out, there's some in Long Island, some upstate. We're in emergency. We're in a crisis. And one of the things that's disturbing me about a lot of people right now is they acknowledge that we're in a crisis in an academic sense, but then when you try to respond in a crisis, you start hearing regional and political interests. If a house is on fire, fire. If the firemen go to the east wing or the west wing first, as long as they're getting people out of the building and trying to save everybody, I don't think we should be quibbling over that. And that is just the latest in a long example of individuals who do not understand that this state is teetering on the verge of insolvency if we don't get people to work and generate revenues into our economy.
What about the good government side of speed is better than accuracy? We remember the big infusion of federal money into Louisiana fast after Hurricane Katrina, and how much of that just seemed to disappear. So who'll be overseeing all this speedy money?
Well, Brian, it's interesting you mentioned that, because even though he doesn't agree with a lot of the stimulus package, Governor Jindal of Louisiana and Governor Haley Barbour of Mississippi sat with me over the weekend, and they told me that 10 to 15% of their local projects were rejected by the federal government under a process known as deobligation. This is where the federal government actually signs off on the package. In other words, they say that you're in compliance, but then they come back a few years later to see if you really were. And if you aren't, they take their money back, and then the state has a deficit to pay for those projects. And both governors said that their states were injured. And so one of the aspects of this situation. Now, what I would say is I think that the Obama administration wants this to work, so you're not going to have some of the structural problems that you had with FEMA and with the compliance process that both Republican governors acknowledged happened a few years ago. Mm-hmm. However, at the same time, the president has said that he will call out states and governors specifically if this isn't done with scrupulous accuracy. And so what we're doing is we're relying on the agency. So, for instance, in New York City, if it's a transportation project, we will go through the city and state departments of transportation, the MTA, the City Planning Commission, and the five borough presidents. In an upstate region, it would probably be the county executives and county legislative
to do that oversight themselves?
To have oversight. The oversights would be the agencies, and I would say the electeds would be more the advisory committees, because sometimes an elected will have a very good institutional history of a project, and perhaps maybe it's shovel-ready, but maybe it's not job-ready.
Governor David,
I think, frankly, Brian, that one of the biggest problems we're going to have is not the readiness of the projects and the compliance part of the agencies. We're going to have the problem that everyone else in this country is having right now, the contractors, construction workers, and a lot of small businesses that are involved are still having trouble getting credit. We're in a credit crisis as much as we're in a financial crisis.
Governor David Patterson, my guest on WNYC. An education question, Governor, also on the stimulus. I've been told that in exchange for receiving part of the stimulus money, the Education Department wants states to come up with ways of determining effective teachers, effective, not just credentialed, and to distribute those teachers equally among high and low need schools. Will you agree to that condition for New York State?
Well, first of all, I'll agree to anything the federal government asks so that we can get resources into a state right now that has a $14.2 billion budget deficit. If it's their money and they're giving it to us, you know what they say, an extra pair of hands always comes with a mouth, and I will listen to it. Their concern is that the resources are spent in the most profligate way possible for the benefit of children. And this is why they specifically, and education was one area, they specifically targeted the money to alleviate any cuts that have been made to education. So our 3.2% education cuts will be off the table. The $2.5 billion will cover that, hopefully, for this year and next year. There is money for the IDEA Fund, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and also Title I money and a lot of special education money. But when it comes to the teachers, they do see, and I found this very interesting because it's a little bit against the philosophy we usually have, a performance quotient in that factor. I don't know how that's all going to work yet, but we'll make sure we're up to speed.
Performance quotient. In other words, according to Education Secretary Duncan, student achievement, not just teacher credentials or evaluations of teachers by their supervisors, should be considered. Does that sound like a good idea to you? The union won't like
well,
it.
Well, Listen, I heard the secretary say that in a meeting that the National Governors Association had with the president on Monday morning. But as the union has correctly pointed out from time to time, how do you assess educational performance from students who are in different areas and obviously with what you would call different degrees of difficulty? I think that's what they call it in diving competition. How would you assess a teacher who could go into a very difficult school and do a good job bringing the class up to, say, state average mm-hmm. results on standardized mm-hmm. tests? And then a teacher that's a little lazy in an affluent community where all the other teachers are doing well benefits from the location. So I don't totally understand what the secretary is talking about.
You think the comparison is impossible?
Off the top of my head, I would say it's a very difficult comparison to make. I think we're talking about children. We're not talking about inanimate objects here. There are mm-hmm. a lot of encumbrances to the education factor, and also, you have teachers that go into difficult places, and that is really the ultimate sacrifice. And then, if they don't perform as well, they're not going to be.
Right.
The district actually suffers. I don't know that that's the best way to do it.
Governor,
but listen, if that's the way they do it for this temporary stimulus package, we will comply.
Governor, beyond the economic crisis, President Obama is now trying to enact some transformative progressive agenda items now that he has a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president for the first time in so long on health care, tax fairness, foreign policy, labor law, and other things. You also have a Democratic legislature and Democratic governor for the first time for New York in decades. Are you shooting for any major progressive change outside the economic emergency?
I would say that there are some pieces of legislation that we've wanted to address for a number of years, particularly in terms of our sentencing revision, the Rockefeller drug laws, obviously.
Is that going to happen in this session of the legislature? Because the Rockefeller drug law reform advocates I've spoken to, the alternatives to incarceration advocates, have been kind of disappointed so far this year.
They probably are rightly disappointed in some of the rulings of the commission that came back. But, the governor is writing the legislation, and the governor has been a long-term advocate of reforming the Rockefeller drug laws. So one of the tremendous issues that we're addressing at the same time is the fact that crime is down so significantly. I mean, it probably will go back up in this era, but crime is down. And of the 39% of people who are leaving our prisons now, only there's recidivism in only 39% of the cases, and in those cases, 29% are attributed to parole violations. So a lot of our concentration on return and access and getting people educated when they come back into the process is actually working. The statistics are now starting to show it.
So there's a bill. Did you write a bill?
We have not submitted a bill yet, but we plan on it. But what I would say, Brian, is this is the point I'm trying to make, which is that we have some agenda items that we would like to pass in the legislature this year. But every time I get into one of these conversations, I think it is part of the distraction and part of the denial that legislators and advocates like to get into. Nobody wants to stare in the face that the number one priority this year is the budget. It's also the second and third priority.
All right.
If we don't get out of this problem, these other issues will be irrelevant. No one will even know what we did or what we said.
We have 2 minutes left. I want to touch two other things real quick. On the budget, I read that the Ravitch Commission plan to fund mass transit is running into new stumbling blocks, especially on the 1/3 of 1%, I think it is, payroll tax to avoid the worst-case fare hike, which looked like it was going to sail through the legislature. Now maybe not. How's that going, and how strongly do you support it?
Well, I support it along with the toll hikes and the ways in which we can give the MTA a capital plan and alleviate the 23% rate hikes for commuters. I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding on this issue. Richard Ravitch has been all over the place. I can't thank him enough for this, to try to educate people on it. Now the rubber's hitting the road, and I think this is the first serious test for the legislature. The Speaker and the Majority Leader have been very cooperative in this process, but I think I'm going to sound like a broken record. You'll never have me on again, Brian, but the fact is people have got to face up to the economic crisis we're in. If this isn't the solution, what is their solution? A 23% rate hike? In this case, you can only go one way or the other. Either you have to do the one-third of 1% tax on the related businesses combined with the tolls on the bridges, or you have to make the people who ride the trains and the buses and the subways pay a 23% rate hike. There's no other place to go. It's one or the other, or some compromise between the two. What you're hearing from the from number of people who are in this issue is, no, I don't want to do either. I just don't want to have the problem. Well, then you've got to recognize this is a time to lead. It's a mini version of what happened in the 30s. You have to make tough decisions. Our predecessors made tough decisions in 1975 during the fiscal crisis. Union and management did come together, and we're going to have to sit down and work this out. But there'll be pain whichever solution we achieve.
And, Governor, sometimes it's good to sound like a broken record. We know the scratch sound is very in these days. And you are welcome back here anytime.
Thank you so much.
Governor David Patterson. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.